అహమీ మునయోగ్రజాస్తే. మాయాబలస్య పురుషస్య కుతో వరాయే. గాయన్ గుణాన్ దశశతానన ఆదిదేవాః. శేషోధునాపి సమవస్యతి నాస్య పారం. నాంతం విదామ్యహమమీ మునయోగ్రజాస్తే. మాయాబలస్య పురుషస్య కుతో వరాయే. గాయన్ గుణాన్ దశశతానన ఆదిదేవః. శేషోధునాపి సమవస్యతి నాస్య పారం. నాంతం విదామ్యహమమీ మునయోగ్రజాస్తే. మాయాబలస్య పురుషస్య కుతో వరాయే. గాయన్ గుణాన్ దశశతానన ఆదిదేవః. శేషోధునాపి సమవస్యతి నాస్య పారం. Matajis. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So, what can others who are born after us know about Him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Shesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge. Although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1000 faces. Purport:
The omnipotent personality of Godhead has primarily three potential manifestations, namely internal, external, and marginal potencies, with unlimited expansions of these three energies. As such, the potential expansions can never be calculated by anyone, because even the personality of Godhead himself as the incarnation of Shesha cannot estimate the potencies, although he has been describing them continuously with his 1,000 faces. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Pitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadaha Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padagamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mugam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam. Neither I nor the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about Him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Shesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge, although He is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1,000 faces. Hare Krishna. We welcome all the guests, all the devotees for our morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Also seek the blessings of all the devotees who are here present in person and also those devotees who are hearing online so that I can speak something. Make an attempt to glorify Lord Sri Hari, although it is just beyond our scope, as this verse says. Great personalities have been glorifying since ages, since time immemorial, and still they are not able to fathom the unlimited potency, unlimited glories, unlimited power and strength and opulence of the Supreme Lord. Then what to speak of an ordinary living entity who doesn't even know what Srimad Bhagavatam is. So yes, this is a very interesting section from the second canto, where Brahmaji has explained in depth about the scheduled incarnations of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. He has described all the incarnations that appears at different times, different eras, and after describing such various varieties of incarnations that one personality assumes in this world, Brahmaji is telling to Narad Muni, what can I say? There is so much to say actually. There is a lot to say and a lot to know about Lord Vishnu. Because Lord Vishnu's glories are unlimited. Yova anantasya gunan anantan Anukramishyati Satubala Buddhi Rajamsi Gunair Ganayim Katham Chit Kalena Naiva Akila Shakti Dhamma. Yova anantasya gunan anantan. That Supreme Lord is ananta and His shaktis, His glories, His qualities are unlimited. So Brahmaji is saying that there is so much to say and there is so much to know, but actually we will fall short in trying to glorify, because in reality, in essence, we can never understand the Supreme Lord in total, we can never understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely. And then Brahmaji says that even someone who is so closest to the Supreme Lord, his first expansion in the form of Shesha, Ananta Shesha, Balramji, he is unable to fathom, he is unable to comprehend, then what to speak of you and me? Brahmaji is telling to Narad Muni. And then what to speak of an ordinary living entity who are born after us? There is absolutely no question of we able to fully understand the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we don't make an attempt. That doesn't mean that we say that, oh, anyways, no, it's not going to happen. So let me just sit and do nothing. So this is also very important. Although Brahmaji says that he cannot, but he still continues to glorify. So Brahmaji is being very honest and humbly admitting this fact that in spite of he being the first created being, in spite of he being the most intelligent creature or most intelligent entity, no, present on this material, in this universe, still, no, he's saying that he can't actually grasp and gather all the knowledge and understanding about the Supreme Lord. Jananta eva janantu name kimbahuktya name prabho manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tava gocharam. Brahmaji, after getting bewildered completely by Lord Krishna in this Brahma Vimohan Leela, he is glorifying Lord Hari by telling Jananta eva janantu name kim bahuktya name prabhu. No, he is telling that the world may say that we know God, world may say that we have understood God, but my dear Lord, let me tell you right in front of you, you are standing right in front of me, let me at least admit this fact humbly and honestly that you are beyond my reach. You are beyond the reach of my manaso vapusho vacho, beyond the reach of my mind, my body and my words. This is the honesty that Brahmaji is demonstrating here, by telling that actually even he cannot. And interestingly, Brahmaji, when he is saying manaso vapusho vacho, Brahmaji is actually pure in his words, in his mind, and definitely his body. Na bharati me angam rsho pya lakshyate na vai kvachin me manaso mrishagati na me rishi kani patantya satpate yanme rido kantyavata drito hari. Brahmaji is, in one of the verses, is telling that in one sense my mind never deviates, my mind will never deter from the main focus. My words will never be false ever. Na Bharati me anga. When we were small, we used to hear Vivid Bharati on the radio. The Bharati means speech. My speech, my words will never be false. And definitely my senses will never go astray. This is what Brahmaji is telling. And he's being very honest here. So through his words, through his minds, and through his body, Brahmaji is very pure. Someone who is so pure, basically, we need a lot of purity to understand all pure. But Brahmaji, who is actually pure at all levels, even he is being actually he's been confessing that he cannot understand. So when we have this honesty that I don't know, and when we have this humility that I am very insignificant, That is the beginning of entering into the realm of knowing the unlimited. That is the beginning. The world that we live in is filled with hypocritical people who actually claim that they have known God, they have understood God, they have reached the limits. But here, Brahmaji is telling us better to be honest and become eligible to know God than to be hypocrite and lose the opportunity. It's like a patient goes to a doctor and doctor is unable to diagnose and understand the problem of that patient. Now an honest doctor will refer that patient to someone who is master in that particular pathy or that particular field. And doctor will tell the patient honestly that this is beyond my purview of understanding. So better, I would request you, better you go to a particular doctor who can actually treat you. But if the doctor is not honest, if the doctor thinks, hey, anyways, I don't get patients nowadays. What will world think about me? The world will think probably I am not an intelligent doctor to solve or cure someone's disease. Or he may say that probably he may want to take some undue advantage, and he may want to make a money out of it, make a profit out of it. So he may then without being honest, he may just send. He may basically try to treat the patient. And he may put the patient more in trouble and problem. So such doctors are honestly dishonest. But here we see Brahmaji is honestly honest, where he is confessing and admitting this fact. So even Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Name vidusuragana prabhavam namaharshaya aham adirhi devanam Maharshinam cha sarvashah. Neither the demigods, the devatas. So naturally, Brahmaji is one of the prominent. He's the prominent demigod. And Lord Krishna says, Name vidus suragana. Even the maharshis, the sages cannot understand. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary says that, okay, someone may say that the demigods are not eligible to understand Lord because they are too much engrossed in sense gratification. So maybe sense gratification disqualifies them to understand the Supreme Lord. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Lord even refutes that. And Lord says that forget about demigods, even the sages who are so good in detachment and renunciation, even they cannot understand. So we may raise our level of purity, or we may be somewhere down, fallen in the ditch of sense gratification. Krishna says even both the extremes cannot understand. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that who can understand Krishna? No one can understand Krishna's origin and opulence without hearing from Krishna himself and his devotees. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. Krishna says, I know the past, present and future. I know every living entity, but not everyone knows me. Nantosmi mama divyanam vibhutim cha janardana bhuya kathaya. What is that? Shrinvato nasti me amritam. Nantosmi, there is no end. Just as this verse begins with nantam vidami aham. So even Krishna himself says that nantosmi, no one can fully grasp, fully understand my glories. Only the rarest of the rare. Manushyanam shahastreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvatah. Very few amongst the millions and trillions can know Lord Krishna. As this beautiful bhajan says, Hari Ananta, Hari Katha Ananta, Kahai Sunahi, Bahuvidhi Sabasanta Ram, Siya Ram, Siya Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Hari Ananta, Hari Katha Ananta, unlimited is the Lord, and unlimited is His katha, His glories, His pastimes. And the sages, the santas, kahai, sunahi, they have been hearing, they have been speaking about the Supreme Lord since time immemorial, but still they cannot fully comprehend. Ramachandra ke charita suhaye kalapakoti lagi jahi nagahe Ram siya Ram jai jai Ram. This says Ramachandra ke charita suhaye, the pleasing are the wonderful glories and the character of Lord Ram. So pleasing that, and so unlimited that kalpa koti, koti kalp tak bhi yadi koi unka gunagan kare, to bhi, fir bhi wo koti kalp kam hai. Koti kalp lag jaye na gaaye. So this is the glory, and how every scripture actually endorses and confirms this statement that we living entity actually cannot understand. If they cannot understand, then who are we? Chaitanya Charitamrita speaks about the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkat Bhatt. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Sri Rangam, Mahaprabhu and Venkat Bhatt are discussing what is higher, whether Aishwarya Bhav of Vaikuntha is higher, or the Madhurya Bhav of Vrindavan is higher. And there's a detailed discussion that takes place between Lord Chaitanya and Venkat Bhatt. And then finally Venkat Bhatt gives four reasons that we can never fathom and understand the glories of the Supreme Lord, no matter how much we try to scratch and hit our head against the wall. So he says, he gives four reasons. He says, Ami jiva shudra buddhi sahaje astira Ishwarera lila koti samudra gambhira. He gives these four reasons. He says, Ami jiva, the very fact that I am jiva, very fact that I am a jiva tattva, basically disqualifies me from understanding the Supreme Lord. Ami jiva shudra buddhi. So first he says, because I am a living entity, I am not a Vishnu tattva, Shambhu tattva, even Brahmaji in one sense comes under the jiva tattva. So up to the limits of Brahmaji, no one can understand. So he is saying, Venkat Bhatt is saying, Ami jiva. So the very fact that I am in a jiva category actually makes me ineligible to know God completely. We know that we need to be eligible to basically enter into any college, or we need to be eligible to even give a certain exams. We need eligibility practically everywhere in the world today. And because we are in that particular category of jiva tattva, so that itself makes us ineligible. Just as if we do not have a fingerprint access to a certain entry, or if we do not have a password to a certain login, then definitely no matter how much we try to press our thumb, no matter how much we try to keep typing certain passcodes, still we will not get any entry. Why? Because, first of all, you are not eligible. No, only specific people are eligible, only specific people has an access. And once we don't have the eligibility, so naturally, no, we can't access the file that's there within, no. And similarly here, Brahmaji is saying that we actually, Venkat Bhatt is saying that, no, we, no matter how much we try our hard, we actually do not have the access. So this few pounds of grey matter actually, no, does not have access only to understand God completely. At the max, all that we can do is, no, we can speculate the password. We can try using our fingerprints. No, maybe not thumb, maybe index finger, maybe the middle finger, maybe the ring finger. So this is how the people in this world, they are trying to do, trying to speculate. Somehow trying to understand. No, it's like just as a fish may be very expert in swimming. Genius. A fish may have mastered swimming. But that fish cannot climb up the tree on the ground. If the tree is there on the water, probably in the water, probably that fish can. But that fish can never climb up the tree, no, on the ground. No. So one may be master in one field, doesn't make that person master in all the fields. No matter how expert and how sharp a owl is in catching its prey in the night time. No, even the eagle can't catch its prey in the night time so expertly, no, the owl can catch. But that owl cannot do anything in the daytime. The owl can just sit and just wait for the night. Similarly, Venkat Bhatt is saying, Ami Jeeva. Jeev means what? 1/10,000 tip of a hair. That's a jivatma, that's we. Now, we are 1/10,000 a tip of a hair, and we jivatma do not even know what are the three elements of a hair follicle. Now, people are trying to grow their hair for those who have gone bald, those who have baldness, they are trying to grow their hair, but they even do not know what are the three elements or the three components of one hair follicle which is there on the head. How many of us know that there are three elements? It's called infundibulum, it's called isthmus, and we also have a bulb in our hair follicle. We do not know that. But that 1/10,000 tip of a hair, jivatma, is so engrossed in trying to make so different hairstyles. I'm not talking about ladies, I'm talking about men. Ladies, so they will have unlimited ways to make their hairstyles, but even men, every year hairstyles keeps changing in the market. For the year 2024, 70 new hairstyles have come in. This is just for information, that someone who wants to really get lost in just trying to adjust and come up with a newer and newer hairstyle. Now, for us, there is only one hairstyle. But for people in the world outside, they just love to keep changing their hairstyle. Even I did not know that there exists a hairstyle called as mullet hairstyle. There exists, here is a boy, who is smiling, maybe he knows it. But it is so very common in the world outside, mullet hairstyle. There is this hairstyle called as semi-leaf cut hairstyle, or spiky mullet, or buzz cut, or crew cut. So many different varieties of hairstyle, a jivatma gets so much lost into making. There is something called as, this, just to give an idea, mullet hairstyle is, you have a,
You have your hairs on the side very small. You have your hairs on the top very small. But there is a long hair on the behind. So basically, in one sense, Brahmachari has a mullet hairstyle. No, they have a long shikha at the back. No hair probably on the top and on the side. But people are mimicking. People actually want to have such type of hairstyles. And a living entity who is just 1/10,000 a tip of a hair, is lost in making so many different types of hairstyle. Not only that, that living entity who is 1/10,000 a tip of a hair is so much caught up in a bag of bones, blood, pus, urine, stool, completely entrapped. And yes, that living entity may have around 1300 or 1400 grams of brain, 40% of gray matter and 60% of white matter. And that living entity, when grows up, claims that, I have understood God. So we are not just, not covered by the body, but we are covered by entrapped by unlimited desires, the impure desires. Bhaktivinoda Thakur so beautifully presents our plight in this bhajan. Amara jivana sada paperatha, ashesha kama naridi maji mora, krodhi damba parayana, madamata sada vishaye mohita, himsa garva vibhushana, nidralasya hata sukarya virata aparadi nirantara akari pratishthalagiya satya acharana lobahata sadakami. So we are being so much engulfed and enveloped by different types of impurities. So Venkat Bhat is saying that ami jiva, how can a jiva or a living entity ever understand all pure Lord? We cannot understand our own body. We cannot understand our own minds. Two people cannot understand each other. So where is the question of the Supreme Lord? And then he says, ami jiva shudra buddhi. Living entity may make an attempt, but our intelligence is shudra. As Bhagavatam says, prayena alpa ayusha, prayena alpa ayusha sabhya kalosmin yuge jana mand sumand matayoho mand bhagya upadritaha. So prayena alpa ayusha, in this body we have a alpa ayusha, we have a very less lifespan. And even if we may have a long lifespan, most of the people do not have time. So lifespan and no time can be equated. So someone may say that I have a long lifespan, but still people do not have a time. If someone may say I have a long lifespan and I have a good time on hand also, but then Bhagavatam says, we are very lazy. Specifically, we are lazy about spiritual inquiry. But someone may say, no, I have a long lifespan, I have a lot of time on my hand, and I am curious to know about spiritual science. Then Bhagavatam says, manda sumanda, then we are less intelligent. We may have time, we may have a long lifespan, we may be curious, but we are not that much intelligent to grasp the oceanic knowledge that the scriptures have to offer. Someone may say that, okay, I have even grasped, I have even understood what scripture says. Then Bhagavatam says that, okay, manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya, we are unfortunate to have the association of the right people who can actually guide us well, because we may have studied scripture, but still we may be very well misguided. And someone may say, no, I am in the association of devotees. I have a long lifespan. I have good time on hand. I am curious to know. I have a good memory power where I can restore all the message, all the information of the scriptures. And I am also in the association of devotees. Then Bhagavatam says, I'm sorry. Mandabhagya upadritaha. Upadrita means, although sitting in the Bhagavatam class, our mind is disturbed. We are constantly disturbed by our mind. So, how much can we grasp? You know, the worst thing is when people say, no, fine, it's okay if I can't understand God. Who cares after all? That's the worst part. How intelligent perverts, how our intelligence is so perverted that when we come to this stage and when we say that ultimately I am God, or even if I can't understand God, what's a big deal? You know, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu went for a class and he was supposed to give a class on this very well-known topic that we give in our journey of self-discovery. So the topic was, does God exist? But then where he went to give the class, he was being asked to change the topic. And he was being asked to speak on this topic, not does God exist, but if God exists, so what? How does it matter? So that's the unfortunate part. He was in Australia for an interfaith panel discussion, and the topic of discussion was, why hasn't God died till now? So people are lost there. So this is a fact that scientists are trying their best to know the mind of God, because they have this understanding that if we can somehow decode the mind of God, practically everything can be within our grasp. But little do they know that only a devotee of the Lord can actually decode the mind of God. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam. It was Srila Rupa Goswami who could actually decode and understand the heart and the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than the Supreme Lord. So it's only a devotee of the Lord who can actually understand, go into the most unreachable heights and the depths. Even Einstein actually confesses. Einstein actually came up with this idea that humans can never understand the nature of God. And he gives this example, he gives this parable. And he says that human mind is just like a child. Human mind is just like a child who has entered into a room which is filled of books, right touching till the ceiling of that room. So when a child enters into a room which is filled with books, it's like a library which is completely filled with books, and that too touching the heights of the ceiling. And the child doesn't even know which language these books are written into. So when a child even doesn't know the language, where is the question of reading the books? Or child may even read, but where is the question of understanding those books? This is Einstein who is presenting this concept. So, child, when sees so many books lined up, child at least can understand this much dimly. Dimly matlab thoda sa, indistinctly. We say dim bulb. So, a child can understand at least this much dimly, that there is a reason why these books are stacked up here. Some reason, someone has written it, but I don't know. No. So this is what Einstein's brain has come to this conclusion. So finally he says that we see this universe so marvelously arranged, obeying certain laws, but we can understand these laws very dimly. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving a very beautiful talk one time, and he was saying that for a human brain to fathom this universe is like a tiny insignificant ant trying to fathom this entire Earth planet. What is the probability that an insignificant ant will cover up? Even if that insignificant ant decides to do the pilgrimage of this planet Earth, starts from its birth and goes on till its old age, still this insignificant ant will not be able to fathom or cover the length and breadth of this one city, Mumbai. What to speak when this ant is being told about the Pacific Ocean or an Atlantic Ocean? Ant can never land on the Pacific Ocean. Similarly, if human brains cannot understand God's creation fully, then what to speak of understanding God? So yes, we cannot understand Krishna, nor can we understand Krishna's plans. He has plans set for us. We also do not know what is going to unfold, how future is going to reveal itself. But if we understand that God's plans are perfect, then we can actually get the mercy of the Lord as well. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was about to leave for, Prabhupada was standing in front of the deities, Radha Dwarka, the Dwarkadish, in Los Angeles. And this is mentioned in one of the conversations that Dwarkadish told Prabhupada that you should go to India. But then Prabhupada said, I don't want to go to India. But then Dwarkadish Lord kept insisting that no, you must visit India. And then Prabhupada said, I have recently acquired this property in Los Angeles, and I want to actually expand and make this temple a bigger temple. And also my spiritual master gave me the Guru Datta Desh, the Western world, to preach. And all my God brothers were given the land of India to preach. So I must stay here in America. But then Dwarkadish kept insisting that you must go to India. So then Prabhupada said, okay, if it is your wish, I will definitely go. So then Lord told Prabhupada, when you will go to India, do not worry, I will give you a bigger temple than the current temple that you have. And that's what happened when Prabhupada came to India, after preaching in America. That's when Prabhupada got the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. And we all know, if Krishna Balaram temple would have not been there today, it's the shelter for the whole world today. So yes, Krishna's plans are perfect, although we may not be able to understand it completely. And then, going further, Venkat Bhat says, Ami Jiva Shudra Buddhi. Asthira. We are very much disturbed constantly. We are unsteady. We need steady mind to actually understand the deeper concept. We are being constantly agitated by the body. There is swine flu, or there is some disease that keeps coming in our life, and we get so caught up constantly being agitated by the financial cause, social cause, family cause, emotional cause. People need these four things in life. People need acknowledgement. People need appreciation. People need accomplishment and accumulation. These four A's everyone needs. And if we don't get this, we get so agitated. So finally, in short, we can say that I am an insignificant soul. I am an insignificant soul. I don't know what's my goal. In ignorance, I always roll. That's why my life is the greatest jewel. This is what, in essence, a living entity is completely entrapped. Where is the question of understanding? There was this young man of the age 22-23. He stood in front of Prabhupada and he said, "Today I choose to be God. Today I choose to take up all the responsibility of the entire universe upon myself. Therefore, I am God." Prabhupada took a deep breath and Prabhupada said, "My God is far more powerful than yours." But then this man said, "I choose to be all-powerful God." Prabhupada said, "I choose to kick your face with my shoes. Can you stop me?" But that man said, "Give me some time." Prabhupada said, "My God is powerful all the time. So why should I accept you as God?" When Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada was giving the talk in an auditorium. The entire auditorium burst into a laughter. So this is our plight, where we are in a very precarious predicament. But still, we are ending up misunderstanding God. This is very interesting, where people, when they are being misunderstood, it hurts them so much. As they say, "You may not love me, you may hate me, I don't mind, but I hate being misunderstood." So no one likes to be misunderstood in this world. And here is God who is being misunderstood by practically everyone. If we can't understand someone, naturally we end up misunderstanding. So the only person who is really tolerant, is actually the Supreme Lord. So He is tolerating our misunderstandings, or we misunderstanding Him. But at the same time, the funniest part is we expect God to understand us all the time. But we actually have to understand this fact that God is a person, and when we are being misunderstood, how much it pains us, what to speak, when we end up misunderstanding. So even if we can't understand God, let us not underestimate or misunderstand God. We know in Ramayana, we know the character of Bharata, how much he was being misunderstood. Again and again and again, time and again he was being misunderstood, not just by his own mother, not just by his own brother, Lakshman, but even by the greatest of the personalities like Vasishtha, Bharadwaj Rishi, Guha, and so many others. He was being misunderstood again and again, and we can understand we can just get an idea that how much painful it must have been for him when he was being misunderstood. But he knew one thing, that come what may, whoever misunderstands me in this world, there is one person who will never misunderstand me, and that is Lord Hari. And with that conviction, he went on tolerating people misunderstanding him. And four main causes of misunderstanding that we all actually We don't have much time to discuss all that, but just touching upon these four main causes of misunderstanding in this world, and what are the six steps to actually overcome or resolve misunderstanding. So the first cause of misunderstanding is when we assume, or when our anuman depends on pratyaksha. When we see something, we assume. But then we assume too much, more than what it deserves to be assumed. So when our anuman depends on pratyaksha more than shabda, without having a reliable source whether this is right or wrong. So when we do too much anuman on the pratyaksha, that's what actually leads to a major misunderstanding. One of the senior brahmacharis was sharing his own story that when he was initiated, at that point of time, they had gone for a yatra to a holy place, and he was sitting next to one more brahmachari, and this brahmachari was not from the same temple, and this brahmachari was wearing a shawl around himself, but he saw that this brahmachari was chanting with his left hand. So he was quite confused. He said, how is it how can we chant with the left hand? So he tried restraining himself, controlling himself, but finally he couldn't stop himself. So he ended up asking him, why are you chanting with your left hand? So this brahmachari, who was covered with his body was covered with the shawl, he said, I am so sorry. He didn't give any justification, but he just said, I am so sorry. And brahmachari, who had not even joined brahmachari ashram at that point of time, he actually was still not happy that how can you do this. But after some time, he got a shock of his life that this senior brahmachari who was sitting next to him, actually his shawl came off from his body, and he was surprised to see that this brahmachari had right hand, but right hand did not have fingers only. And that really shocked him, and he was so surprised he actually started crying, and he actually went and begged forgiveness. So when we do too much anuman on the pratyaksha without actually having a clear cut understanding of the shabda, that's when we end up committing major mistakes, or we misunderstand people. Srila Prabhupada was in America, and Prabhupada was writing letters after letter to his god brothers in India that you please send me one mridanga, I need one assistant, there is little bit progress happening here, at least if you can send me something, it will be of great help. And right at that point of time, when Prabhupada was sending letters from America to India, his god brothers were sending letters to America, letters to Prabhupada in America, saying that his sannyas guru, Keshav Maharaj, has left his body. But because Prabhupada was constantly traveling and he was not staying at one place, so he was moving, he never got any letter. But his god brothers got the letter saying Prabhupada is asking for mridanga. So there was a misunderstanding that happened between Prabhupada and the god brothers, because god brothers thought that what type of devotee is he? His sannyas guru has left his body and we are trying to reach him out, and he is asking for an assistant and a help. So how misunderstandings just pop up is sometimes we just cannot avoid. So this is the first cause. The second cause of misunderstanding is when we hear any story from an unreliable source. When the source is unauthentic, then we end up committing major mistake or blunder. Kaikai heard, Kaikai could have actually approached the Kulaguru Vasishtha, but Kaikai did not approach Vasishtha, nor did she approach Ram. She actually heard from an unreliable source mantra, and that's where the entire misunderstanding, builded up. The third cause of misunderstanding is hearing only the one side of the story, no? Rather than understanding the full, rather than grasping or understanding the complete story, when we end up hearing only the one side of the story, that's when we actually get into misunderstanding. And the fourth cause of misunderstanding in this world is jumping to conclusions without giving benefit of doubt. The classic example is when Vali saw Sugriva sitting on the throne, and Vali connected wrong dots. Oh, it was Sugriva who actually I told him to wait. He did not wait. Above that, he covered the cave with a big stone. And now, about that, he is here, sitting on my throne, and he's enjoying, the opulence of Kishkindha. So he connected wrong dots, and as a result, he jumped to conclusion without actually giving benefit of doubt. Mrs. Khatri saw Mrs. Chhatri approaching Mrs. Gatri. So Mrs. Chhatri saw that two ladies are approaching. One lady is approaching another lady and telling, "Give me your balan. My husband is approaching. My husband is reaching in next 15 minutes. And this lady, she said, "I will give you my balan, but you also return my balan very fast because my husband is also coming very soon." So Mrs. Chhatri, who saw all this, she concluded, why both of them are asking for balan. Without understanding the simple fact that they both wanted to make hot chapatis for their husband. But they ended up thinking something else. So this is what happens when we jump to conclusion without actually giving benefit of doubt. So a lot can be spoken, but how do we resolve misunderstanding? That's a big mystery. But if we remember this acronym TOPPLE, TOPPLE, it can actually help us solve misunderstandings. At least hopefully we can try resolving. This TOPPLE stands for, acronym TOPPLE, the T stands for trust. Always trust other people's intentions rather than just going on people's action. Oh, open-mindedness, understand this fact that we cannot understand ourselves so properly, we end up misunderstanding our own selves, what to speak of understanding other people. So yes, having this open-mindedness to accept this fact that misunderstandings does happen, are bound to happen, that is the O. The third is P. Misunderstandings even happen within this community of devotees so many times, most of the times. So the third is P, or perceived misunderstanding. Many a times, it's our wrong perception actually that leads to misunderstanding. So we need to change the perspective, our own selves, rather than expecting others to change their own. So when we change our perspective, automatically misunderstanding won't happen. The fourth is the P, T-O-P-P. The P stands for polite clarification and communication. When there is a polite and a gentle clarification done by us, then we can overcome and resolve misunderstanding. L stands for love. When there is love, no matter how much misunderstanding happens, we can easily resolve it. So, developing love and a bonding and affection actually helps overcoming misunderstanding faster. And the last E stands for entirety. Unless we know the full picture, as we discussed before, we will definitely end up misunderstanding. So take an extra step to understand and know the reality rather than jumping to conclusion. So, we living entities, only when we will stop misunderstanding people around, we will actually stop misunderstanding God. Because God truly wants us to understand each other and live together, peacefully and in bonding. So, we living entities, we didn't actually discuss the fourth cause, Ishwarera Leela Koti Samudra Gambhir. Lord's pastimes in and of itself are so deep that it's beyond our capacity to understand Him. I'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granth Rashmi Bhagavatam Ki Jai.